You are listening to Adventures Within with Jennifer Moon and Robert Watkins. Adventures Within is brought to you by Faction 2 of The Revolution in partnership with Kaechung Radio. Faction 2 of The Revolution is committed to creating alternatives to the established orders of both the bourgeois culture of the fine art world and the spectacle arena of representations that constitute popular culture, in order to stimulate a new society that is both socially aware and politically motivated. Adventures Within is fervent in its mission to heighten awareness in and of the personal and private realms in order to realize and sustain political action. The segregation of the personal and the political, the public and the private, the individual and the populous, are no longer expansive. This is Adventures Within.
Hello, everyone. It's Jennifer Moon back on the air. Well, it's been a long time. It's been like over a month. And I'm in Kaechung's new space. It's kind of exciting. They moved. And I'm feeling a little nervous, I think. I just had this conversation with Anthony about being invested in my show and how it makes me nervous, which is kind of what I want to talk about tonight. About beliefs, and my nervousness is definitely related to a belief that I have that, like, I want my show to be good, which gives me like anxiety, which then goes back to like a trust issue. I think I heard this from Michael Blomsterberg. He was saying like anxiety is essentially like a lack of trust, which I find to be true. So last episode, I had my friend Kelly Jo Camp come on the show, and we did a relationship exercise that I learned from Michael Blomsterberg. And Michael's idea is that most of the time, we are not having relationships with the actual person, but rather we are having relationships with their beliefs and vice versa. And it's like, it's our beliefs that are actually interacting with each other. And our true selves, our light, so to speak, is obscured and hidden beneath our beliefs. And oftentimes we will never see the person and they may never see us. I kind of like imagine it to be like we're like almost like zombies or something. This is like an extreme example or just where my mind goes to. Like we're like shells that hold these beliefs. And then I picture like us like kind of like we're hosts to these beliefs and we're like walking around and it's actually these, our beliefs are having relationships with each other and we're just kind of like sitting back, like not knowing what to do or just like unaware that it's our beliefs. And then, so we're, the way that we interact is like somewhere up here and not in our, in our bodies. That's just how I kind of envision it. And so with that, like it, you know, right now it's election time, as many of us know, and election time perfectly exemplifies this idea of interacting with and reacting to and having relationships with a host of beliefs rather than with the person. And to be a true revolutionary, one must be able to see through one's own beliefs. So that means I must be able to see through my own beliefs to connect with my own light, my own abundance, my awesomeness, my magnificence, whatever you want to call it, which will then enable me to see through your beliefs so that I can then connect to your light, your abundance, your awesomeness, etc., which is in all of us, by the way. As I mentioned in the first episode, I don't care if you are considered like the most evil person in the world. I don't care what you've done. You have the same light as I do. And I will, as much as I can, like one of my things is like, I promise that I will always search for your light, no matter how deep it is hidden. And that, to me, is one of the pledges of being a revolutionary. So, and then this purity of connection, which occurs when one clears away and moves beyond beliefs, it then facilitates a seriously, like in a very serious way, a very serious magical level of connection, which enables abilities like telepathy and psychic melding, relationships with objects verging on psychokinesis. It enables a synthesis with the present moment that allows one to influence energies that can shift reality. And this kind of, this magical connection could even possibly produce like unaided flight. And this magical life is what I'm interested in, and it is the realm of in which the true revolutionary exists and operates. But to get to this level, one has to embark on this kind of like never-ending adventuring within. And this adventuring within is essentially what this show is all about. So going back to the elections, so I noticed, like I think I talked about in my second show, The Brilliance of Judging Others, how I often like use Facebook as a way to gauge, kind of like it's kind of like a barometer as a way to gauge what's going on inside of me and how I'm feeling at the moment. I pay attention to the way I judge other people on Facebook because that clues me into kind of how I judge myself. And this kind of like awareness of how I judge others as kind of like as something that becomes a gift is described in detail in Principle 1 of the Revolution, which is definition of abundance. And if you're interested, you can, there's little booklets, which I think I mentioned before. There's some at Commonwealth and Council, or you know, it's also gonna be online once I get my website up, which will hopefully be soon. So anyway, so Facebook. So I noticed on Facebook that the people who generally kind of express notions of love during any other time except for now, like these same people are all of a sudden like using words like, you know, moron and ignorant and lying motherfucker and like just basic name calling, and there's like this hostility going on. And I thought that was interesting. Interesting also because I'm not immune to this either. I think this is like the first time that I ever seriously considered defriending someone. I have a rule with myself that I don't really defriend people because I feel like it's reactive. And like, I'm here in this life to not to control my environment, but rather learn how to truly see a person and truly like understand, which will lead to like a deep and genuine love. Which means that like, if I feel like I need to defriend something, that's a kind of like a indication for me that I need to kind of, I need to adventure within. And so this is what happened. Like, it's like the first time that I thought about defriending someone. It's interesting how it's true that my beliefs were kind of combating with this other person's belief. And how like that my ideas and my perception of this person totally shifted. Cause you know, before like she would like, I would kind of admire her posts because they were like, they were very like, she's young, she's in high school and a teenager, but she had this kind of like sort of like exhibiting this sort of self-love that I thought was admirable, and also kind of in contrast to a lot of the self-deprecating kind of identities that maybe young people have. So I thought that was really admirable. But then all of a sudden, like during election time, all this stuff started coming out, which contradicted my beliefs. And then all of a sudden my perception of this person like totally shifted, and like I had to hold kind of back from engaging in it, which I realized that that's kind of like, which is interesting because there's, okay, there's this, I think, an automatic kind of tendency, I guess automatic because only because maybe we're conditioned this way. If like I'm having like a judgment on someone, it's like, okay, don't judge a person, think nice thoughts, think positive thoughts, da, da, da. And I feel like that kind of is keeping me away from myself. So when I started having these kind of emotional reactions toward this person, which again has nothing to do with that person per se, it has everything to do with me. I knew that's an indication for me to adventure within. And so some of the questions I would ask myself, and I take these questions from Michael Blomsterberg's maintenance documents, is like, you know, what, like, how does this serve me? How does this kind of like this resentment or whatever that's towards this person, how does that serve me? What do I get out of it? What's my payoff? What's my reward? And as Michael would say, it's very often it's like protection, safety, attention, approval, suffering, misery. You know, is it protecting me? Is it shielding me? Am I using it as a weapon? What am I afraid of losing? Which is usually a false identity. Who am I afraid of becoming or being? Who am I hiding from? Am I hiding in it, in my belief, behind it? You know, what am I hiding? How do I use it as an excuse, as an alibi? What am I trying to prove? That's a big one for me, because a lot of times I am trying to prove something to myself. And the next one is, what are you getting to be right about? That's also a big one for me, because I like to be right. And so a lot of this that I experienced with this other person was me wanting to be right. And like the moments when I'm like wanting to comment, I had to really be aware of the reasons why. It's because I wanted to be right and I'm trying to prove that I'm right. And the other questions are like, what am I avoiding and what am I not willing to see? So for me, this became very, it was an expansive experience. And again, like the person that I find the most annoying or the person that brings out really like, I have like strong emotional reactions to, they end up becoming my gift, because then I get to look what's going on inside of me and I get to gain greater awareness of my beliefs and how they're then, you know, dictating how I interact with people. So, you know, there's that Rumi quote of, out beyond ideas of wrongdoing and right doing, there's a field and I'll meet you there. And that's kind of like what, like that field is the place, the space that I'm trying to be at. And however, in order to get to that field, I feel like I have to acknowledge my beliefs that then categorize things as this is wrong and this is right. And once I learn to kind of, once I'm aware of those things and even learn, as Michael would say, to befriend them and love those things, then that's only then will I be able to kind of move past it into this field that's beyond wrongdoing and right doing. Let's see. So I'm going to talk a little bit also more about beliefs, and because I feel like, you know, essentially this is all about like identifying beliefs. I'm skipping this other part. I made a bunch of notes. Okay. So I'm sorry, I'm reading my notes. Okay, so one of the biggest things about this kind of adventuring in is learning to be kind to yourself, or I'm learning to be kind to myself. And being kind to oneself in itself is revolutionary, and it is the necessary first step to enable adventuring within, because without being kind to myself, adventuring within quickly becomes another exercise of beating oneself up. And a way to kind of facilitate this is to know that who I am is not my thoughts, my beliefs, my feelings, the things that I do, the job I have, the amount of money I have, like all those identifications. Once I kind of realize or understand that's not who I am, I think it becomes a little easier to adventure within, at least for me, because for me, I definitely gained like my sense of self-worth through the things that I do, and the acknowledgement that I would get from it, and validation. And those are things that I use to create this kind of false idea of self-worth. So I know for me, and it might be different for everyone else, what they identify with, that was like the struggle that I had to go through in order to learn to be kind to myself, in order to facilitate this adventuring within. And then once, like, learning to be kind to yourself, which is like a process in itself and very difficult, and then not identifying with my thoughts, beliefs, feelings, and the things that I do, that then allows me to act outside of kind of like these pervasive and overarching dichotomous frameworks. And then that is that field that, you know, that Rumi quote was talking about. And I think, let's see, I have about 5 minutes. I'm gonna kind of identify common disagreements with this process of this kind of beliefs, thoughts that I have, the beliefs that I have, the thoughts that I'm believing to be true at the moment, which creates my feelings or my emotional reactions to things, and then that then dictates my behavior. So one of the common like disagreements with this process is that it's the feelings that create my beliefs and thoughts, not the other way around. And this is definitely true on some level. Definitely if I'm not really aware of this process of my beliefs creating the feelings that then, you know, dictate my behavior, it'll definitely seem that I have this bad feeling. And so then it creates beliefs about whatever the situation is. Or like say I encounter a person and I have this uneasy feeling. And so my belief, it then creates a belief that this person is a bad person. Person shouldn't be trusted. And that is definitely true. However, like I kind of like relate it to like a pinball machine. You know, like there's the pinball, the ball that kind of gets thrown around. And so I feel like there's different levels. Like the level that the pinball is at is kind of this feelings to kind of beliefs. And the way I interact in the world is reactive. It's based on like things that happen to me or things I counter. So like maybe something, you know, what I consider like a good thing to happen to me happens, like an event. And then all of a sudden I feel good. And then something bad happens and I feel bad. And it's all, I feel like I'm kind of like a victim of life circumstances. I'm being thrown around like a pinball. And underneath that is the mechanism, which is like the little paddles, the rails that form like little kind of like roller coaster kind of things, the bumpers and stuff. Like that mechanism is the beliefs. Like those are my beliefs and my feelings and also my behaviors. And underneath that is kind of what I'm interested in, which is like that magical realm of being able to, where magical things happen. Like, and I've experienced this. I know people who actually one of these people is my boss at my ropes course job at Lodestone Adventures. She has this ability to, like I bring people up to do her program and people always leave being like, oh my God, she's like psychic. And the thing is, like, I feel like anyone can get to that point. It's just she's able to kind of clear away her beliefs, and she's able to get past, recognize the beliefs of the other person and clear away that, and get underneath that and really see a person. And this is what it's all about, is to actually see a person. It's about connection. It's about enabling kind of the impossible things like telepathy and psychic melding and all that other stuff that I talked about in the beginning of the show. That, to me, is the true revolutionary life, and also the thing that really facilitates or enables actual lasting change. And, oh my God, time is running out. That's the thing. It's like people talk about, okay, I'm just going to end with this, and then I might continue this subject in the next show. Talk about like intuition. And so if like one is on the level of the pinball, like bouncing around, reacting to the different things that happen in life, like people can say that whatever they're feeling is their intuition, and I'm not arguing that it's not their intuition, but I think it's dependent on what level you're on, I guess. So what I'm interested in is like the intuition of connecting. It's a deeper kind of intuition where I'm connected to everyone and to what I call the third communal entity, which enables this. So I'm like not a singular, like it's not, I'm coming to people, I'm coming to situations, I'm interacting and maneuvering through life, not based on, it's not based on my needs. I'm not coming to things wanting stuff, wanting something, or in fear of something. It's like an openness that then enables this kind of like magical intuition and connection. I feel like I'm talking like really not making sense, but hopefully I am. So I'm just gonna like stop there on this subject, but hopefully I sort of made sense. I feel very odd about this. Okay, so now it's time for the song we sing together, which is, of course, my favorite part of the show because it's I don't have to talk as much. And the song that we sing together is the Glee version of Fleetwood Mac's Songbird. And the reason I'm doing the Glee version is because that's the version of the song that I heard when I had this particular experience, which I will explain shortly. And because the Glee version has a kind of distinct clarity and crisp quality to it that emphasize the lyrics and what I think is like the essence of the song. So you can Google the lyrics right now, or you can go to the Adventures Within K-Chung Tumblr at adventureswithin.kchungradio.org. That's, again, that's adventureswithin.kchungradio.org. And the lyrics for the song we sing together are posted there right now. So about a month ago, I had this song, Songbird, came on my Joni Mitchell Pandora station. And at the time, I was kind of like, I developed a crush on this person. And so when the song came on, I thought I sang along to it thinking of this person. And this person is not available. So it's, again, yet another unavailable person, which, you know, I have experienced that in the past often. So when I was singing the song, and the lyrics go like this, like, for you, there'll be no more crying. For you, the sun will be shining. So it's like this, and this happens when I have a crush on someone and they're not available for whatever reason. Then I start thinking that I can help them in some way. Like this particular person, I kind of view as, I don't want to say like, not damaged, but like in development, and that I can be the person that can bring her, you know, like that can help her bloom. And so I was singing this song thinking about that, thinking like, yeah, I'll be the one and I'll be the one to stop your tears, and I'll be the one to help you shine. And then the next line is like, to you I'll give the world, and like, to you I'll never be cold. And when I got to those lyrics, to you I'll give the world and to you I'll never be cold, I had this experience where I was like, wait a minute, like I want to have the world, like I deserve the world, and then like I don't want to be cold to me. And it reminded me of something, and the next lyrics go like this, because I feel that when I'm with you, it's all right, I know it's right. And I was reminded of something that Michael would always say about like joining your own team. Like the work that he does is about getting us to join our own team, like be on our own side. And I was like, wait a minute, I've learned to not be like cold to myself. And I know that when I'm with me, that I'm all right. So I was like, oh my God, like I had this like epiphany. And so then I re-sang the song, looking in a mirror to myself and singing it to me. And the feeling I had was so different. Like when I was singing it, thinking about this unavailable person, I think I even might've shed a tear, and like, it was like so full of pathos and like martyrdom. Like I'd sacrifice myself to, you know, give you the world. And then when I sang it to myself, there was absolutely no like pathos in it. It was like, I truly felt what I was singing. And it was like such a different feeling in it, and it really, it filled me up, and it was incredible and amazing. So that's why we're singing the song, because it taught me and it reminded me of how I can be kind to myself. So when we sing the song, if you guys want to, you can go look in the mirror and sing the song to yourself. Or you can do what I did, and you know, if you're pining away for someone, you can do that too. I would just suggest maybe just paying attention to the way you feel while you're doing that. And if you can, start shifting it to thinking about yourself, and then also paying attention to see if that's difficult for you. Is it difficult for you to look in the mirror and look in your eyes and say like, I love you, and to sing this song? Is it uncomfortable, or is it like something that fills you up with love. So that's it. So here I'm gonna play it and we're gonna sing along, and hopefully I get the levels right, because last time you couldn't hear me at all, but the other two times like I was so loud, so hopefully I'll get this right. Okay, here we go.
They know the score.
Oh my God, I feel so much better. And it is true. I do love myself like I have never before, ever in my whole entire life. At almost 40 years, this is the first time that I think I've ever truly loved myself. And the thing is, like, I feel like this show was really weird, and I was talking very not about concrete things, which makes me uncomfortable. Like, I'm probably gonna feel uncomfortable about it. But the thing is, like, I love myself enough to know that I can't be perfect, and things don't always turn out the way that I want it to be, and that's okay. You know, I'll just, you know, do the next show and hopefully it'll be better. So now it's time for Robert's playlist. And he put together another thoughtful selection of songs for your listening pleasure and contemplation and to stimulate your spirit. You can find a complete list of all the music played tonight, as well as links to websites featuring the bands he plays tonight on his website at robertdwatkins.com. And it's under links, and then Adventures Within is a second link listed. So enjoy the rest of the show, and I shall return in a month for some more Adventuring Within.
What do I suppose I style on to rely? I'm feeling all my precious revenge, yeah. I'm staring nowhere and settle on to an end. It's too late for me, and still I keep talking within, yeah. What you want to, some of them keep it always. I say what you want to, my two eyes got in my way. One of them is treated. The chance I know won't go, and meditate the fallout I'm in, yeah. Surrender to reply. I'd give a lot to get there, don't lie. Do what you want to. Keep it always still on time. I say what you want to. Do I bring too much? Two eyes got in my way. What am I giving to? Dedication's all about, and then it's all the pieces. So fleeting, we all learn to hold, let's say, yeah. Do what you want to. Some of them keep it always still on time. I say what you want to. Do I bring too much? Two eyes got in my way. What am I? Dedication's all about, and then it's all pieces. Still I rather know I'm meant to tell. Just then, not looking further behind us there.
This has been a production of Faction 2 of The Revolution. For more information on The Revolution, visit jmoon.net. The Revolution is also on Facebook. You have been listening to Adventures Within. Join us on the third Sunday of every month at 7 o'clock for another episode of Adventures Within on KCHUM Radio.